The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening once again, ladies and gentlemen. We are here at the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net and the Freakin' Awesome Network. My name is Nikki Heyman, and our table tonight is a few of our regulars. Let's start on the far side of the planet. Mr. Beeman, where have you been?
I have been watching, I would say watching the Olympics, but that's a complete another lie. I've just been about doing my own thing.
If Jim were here, get well soon, Jim, he'd be asking about your walkabout, of course.
Yes. No, it's all right, Jim. I didn't go to Wolf Creek.
So over here in the Big Apple, Jason Block.
Yeah, hopefully I didn't break the studio too much after hosting last week after your visit to Gen Con. By the way, how was that?
Oh, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Huge shout out. I know we usually do plugs, but shout out to Casey Clark of Spartacus Publishing, the makers of Luchador Way of the Mask role-playing game, and for Impact Miniatures, who sponsored me for this convention. Look up their dice. Look up their Blood Bowl stuff. Original Blood Bowl stuff. But I had a wonderful time. I had spent it with wonderful people, had wonderful food, I want to quell a rumor. My PayPal did not bounce.
you sure about that?
Square is square. Anyway.
PayPal instantly saw the last name Heyman, said, we ain't going near that.
Oh, for out loud. Anyway, so we got one more here at the table, our fourth, as it should be, fourth.
If you want to see someone make a good first impression, I recommend Googling Aaron Rex Impact. You will not be disappointed.
Yeah, but I could spoil it.
Let's not for now. We can bring that up later.
Oh, but I got the button right here. Okay. Okay, I won't do it. This has been a busy week, and a lot of what we're going to be talking about isn't on camera. We've got lawsuits, we've got comings and goings, we've got Twitter bullshit, we've got, where do we start?
Ooh. Let's start with the Twitter bullshit, because that's fun. Okay.
This is extremely amusing. Conor McGregor.
Asshole. Sorry.
You're not wrong.
He isn't wrong. Calls out the WWE locker room, saying that he would be happy to just line them all up and slap them all across the face.
No. That was his rebuttal after every superstar that complained about what he originally said. How it all originally started was Conor McGregor was on a podcast, I believe, either a podcast or a radio interview, and he was asked about how Brock Lesnar made his transition from WWE to UFC, if Conor McGregor thought about doing the same thing, if he was going to be like, keep his relationship, do a relationship with WWE. And Connor's exact words were that most of those WWE guys are a bunch of pussies. So, So when that was said, everybody blew up.
Yes, there were quite a few reactions.
And you think?
let's see, what else? Well, most of the technicians at least responded, and a couple of legends following up.
And we even had a boss answer the call.
Yes, I could make a very tasteless joke, but all she said was bring it. Kurt Angle, oh, you're a funny little guy. Why don't you get your head out of Dana White's ass?
I like Big E's response. Would you prefer to find us individually or of his whole lineup at once? I know your time is valuable, sir.
Rusev kind of rubbed a little salt in there too. So much talk for a guy who fights 15-minute matches twice a year. Good for you, Conor MacGyver.
And AJ, and if AJ Styles wanted to just add a little push to that, he said, "I think Conor McGregor could do well in the featherweight division if the WWE had one."
Let's see.
And Dolph Ziggler, I'll forgive him for this one. I volunteer his tribute.
I give the man props for being a Hunger Games fan.
Yes, okay. I volunteer his tribute. Just need to drop 40 pounds and find where every dude in Brooklyn gets their hair cut and tattooed.
But to soothe the statement, Jason, Bubba does you proud.
Yeah.
I would pay good money to see Kurt Angle stretch the piss out of him and make him tap. Hashtag it's true.
but let's end it with what our good friend Mr. Ric Flair said. Why don't you read this one, because it's awesome.
Yes, coming from a guy who built a career copying my persona, I expected the type of class we get from Ronda or Anderson. After Diaz finishes you again, I dare you to try guys like Dolph, Brock, or Fit. Oh, you're welcome for your gimmick. If anyone doubts whether or not Dolph could tie Connor in a knot, do yourself a favor and Google his accomplishments.
Oh, Jesus.
That's an empty... That's not shots fired. That's an empty magazine.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah. Yes, frankly, just about anybody on the roster could tie Connor in a knot. The only person I would have a problem... I think would have a problem would be Enzo.
Yeah, because he'd be too fucking caffeinated to stop.
Well, not only that, and I think Enzo would just destroy him on the mic and then let Cass do the rest.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, but all right. Can I put this thing to bed by just saying one thing?
Sure.
All right. See, this is I haven't done this in a while, guys. I haven't shot at anybody in a while, so I'm gonna try and be gentle with Connor here.
Why?
Screw it. Why not? I'm just going to go off the chain. Mr. McGregor, I find it funny that an Irishman whose whole ancestry is all about fighting whines, bitches, and moans to his boss that he doesn't get what he wants and then goes and retires online and yet has the balls to say, behind a keyboard, mind you, and behind a microphone, that guys that work a road 365 days a year and do longer matches than you are pussies. And some of them are twice your age. So to you, Mr. McGregor, I say grow a set of balls, get back in the ring, get your ass whooped by Nate Diaz, and then permanently retire.
Well put.
And yes. I'll even add it further. When you get your ass whipped by Nate Diaz, you'll become begging to Vince McMahon to put you on WrestleMania 33. No doubt in my mind. Okay.
Oh, and the answer you will slightly be denied. And I thought I had a button for that. Actually, I do have a button for this. Do you guys mind?
Not at all.
Hey, Connor, have a seat.
Ooh, really? Okay, wow.
Dumbass.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
For somebody who wants to, well, just from what Shane had to say, this is a guy who opens his mouth, inserts foot, chews vigorously, spits it out, and then talks from the other side.
This guy's worse than Scott Steiner, for fuck's sakes.
Oh, at least Scott Steiner's entertaining when he does it.
he was the part I found most contradictory. He's like, well, you see, we're all part of the fighting game here. We're not a part of entertainment. It's like, bullshit, mate. You are part of the entertainment. You mean to tell me that you get on the microphone and do your little song and dance for the fight game? Please. You do it so you get asses in seats and entertain people. Do you honestly expect me to believe that you do a whole dog and pony show simply because you want to piss someone off? Please.
He only fights twice a year, and he has to put, you know, he has to get 7-8 figures out of it. So poor baby.
Yeah, exactly. Conor McGregor, you are the Floyd Mayweather of the MMA world. And what I mean by that is you sing and dance around and your fighting's pretty lack friggin' luster. There you go.
So, with that out of the way.
Damn, I need that some aloe for those burns.
But, Nikki, you did bring up someone that has been rather entertaining lately. Mr. Enzo Amore, the certified G.
And bonafide stud.
Oh, hell yeah. And after this past week on Raw, you can definitely say that. It's like, how you doing?
How you doing? Actually, I think he got the bonafide stud stuff down the week before when he was when him and Sasha were sweet-talking each other.
Yeah. Because what happens is that on Raw this week, he and Big Cass opened the show, and he was upset that Jericho, and excuse my language, was cock blocking him and Sasha.
He just couldn't say it. He wasn't allowed to say it that way, but yes, that's exactly what was going on.
I apologize. I really apologize, but it's the truth.
We have a language disclaimer on the show for a reason, Jason.
Yes, I understand. So then Jericho comes out and says, well, I got somebody you know, that has my back now, right? Maybe,
right.
Sort of.
Well, first he compared Enzo and Cass again to Chester and Spike from the old Warner Brothers cartoons. Awesome reference.
Excuse me. Google it, kids. Seriously, Google it.
No. I'm sorry. We need to Google it properly.
Google it, bitch. I'm not here to hit you.
Yeah.
So yeah, Jericho says, okay, but I got somebody who's going to have my back. And since Jericho's being a dick, he needs a dick to walk with him. And Jericho and Kevin Owens, yes, please.
Sorry, you caught me at the wrong time. Wow. Yeah.
This led to a Sesame Street reference.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, when you've got a 7-foot guy that does, and sorry, Big Cass, does look partially like Big Bird. Making a Sesame Street reference, calling Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens Bert and Ernie. It's like,
And then this picture showed up.
Yes. May I describe it, please, Nikki?
It's very simple. It's a caricature of Jericho as Bert and Kevin Owens as Ernie. And they even gave Ernie a beard and Bert a scarf.
Oh, God.
Drink it in, man.
The only thing that's going to make this storyline any better is if the next week on Sesame Street they have Bert dressing up like that going, drink it in, Ernie.
Yes.
Very good. Oh, very nice. Nice touch. There you go.
So, yes, I'm sorry.
Very good.
All of these references in one segment.
Yes.
I think Raw just won the entire freaking week.
Yeah.
Although speaking of Sasha, Sasha's made sure that her match at SummerSlam is not going to be a handicap match.
Yep.
She defeated Dana Brooke to make sure she was banned from ringside. Well, get your wild cards ready in case she decides to come out before or after the bell. Just putting it out there. What else? What other goofiness do we have? Oh, yeah. Rusev and Lana, happily married.
Oh, yes. Yes. Legitimately happily married.
Yeah, legit happily married, but decided to share the celebration with the Raw crowd, which went to its usual extreme. They didn't like it. They weren't interested. I didn't hear the boring... No, I did hear the boring chant. I do remember the boring chant.
That was only for the video part, but once Roman got in there, and by the way, do you notice how loose Roman was in that promo?
Yeah.
It wasn't the booze, I know that much.
No, because he hadn't drank any yet.
Yeah, exactly. He was cool, he was charming, and he was funny.
I think it's because
Go ahead.
No, fourth, you first.
I was going to say, I think it's because the pressure's off that, well, obviously getting punished for what happened was not fun. Maybe the fact that they're not trying to push him so hard has him in a position where he can relax, he can do more things in kind of a smarmy character the way he did.
And maybe they finally took the shit sandwiches off the menu.
Yeah.
I really hope this is, okay, we're done beating you up. You took it like a man. Have at it.
Now, did you notice that Lana specifically, when she got, quote-unquote, pushed into the cake, that she took one of the layers and rubbed it through her hair? Did you notice that?
I missed that, but I'll tell you what, she looked like a hot pink mess. I mean, it was epic.
Here's another old school reference. It reminded me of Carrie.
Yes.
Thank you.
Eek. Ended up throwing some of the other cake around since only one cake was damaged. There were three cakes. Come on, you two.
If you're going to screw up a wedding ceremony, do it right.
Seriously. Seriously. But comedy aside, some of the serious stuff No, I do have one other piece of comedy. I have to talk about this. TNA cannot even touch it for copyright infringement, but we did get Doc Gallows.
Yes, we did.
And Doc Anderson.
Very nice. Very nice. I like that. Very good.
Oops, that's SmackDown. I shouldn't have done that. I should have divided these a little better.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sorry. Doc Gallows, them talking about ring postitis. And poor Big E, who... Good Lord, the puns. Oh my God, the puns!
When two men are holding up boiled eggs in a liquid jar saying, and these are his balls. It's like, that'll do. That'll do, mate.
Again, a little tear of the envelope is always fun.
Yes.
I like it because the whole trolling thing is something they've proven they can handle against the New Day. So now the New Day has to actually step up as athletes. So to me, it works definitely.
Oh, absolutely! I'm sold. I'm definitely sold on that. Also, just because there's a certain button here I want to press. I also want to send mad props to the Miz and Maryse, who are both extremely lucky individuals. They are happily married, and they get to play happily married on TV, much to Renee Young's consternation.
Oh, that was... Oh my God, that was so much fun. There, excuse me. There's a line that you said that could be pushed here.
That's you read my mind, sir, because Renee Young just kind of threw her hands up, but she couldn't say,
"Will you two just shut up and fuck?"
Yes! Oh my God! Excuse me. Great minds, baby. That's it. Great minds. Holy!
I'm serious.
Shit.
Just,
yes.
Poor Renee. Despite all this hilarity, they are doing a very good job building SummerSlam.
Mm. Yes, they are. They are. It's the every match seems important in its own way.
And as if to conserve wrestling time, they did some very nice video packages. One, a back and forth interview where they talked to Orton and then they talked to Lesnar and my dear Uncle Paul regarding the match. Orton seems, well, you know, we knew each other all the way back in OVW. You know, I'm really looking forward to this. And Lesnar's like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
And they keep saying this is the first time they faced each other. Hit the WWE Network. Somewhere in 2003, this happened.
2002. They said 14. I think they've said 14 years in the making. I think they've said that.
Yeah, but they're saying this is the first time they faced. Now, I'll give them that this is the first time they faced as equals or as close to equals as you're going to get when you're dealing with a final boss like Lesnar.
Yes.
I think they corrected themselves by saying it's the first time they've met on pay-per-view.
Okay. I'll get that then I, you know, I'll accept that because I'm sure enough people have sent something in saying, no, these two have faced each other.
Yeah, I can remember a young Brock Lesnar in his black tights versing a young Randy Orton in his blue tights and F5-ing the crap out of him.
Yes, but in this case, Lesnar was already near the top of the ladder and Orton was still a fresh-faced kid. So they weren't exactly equals. This is about as close to equal as these two are going to get. So we have that. We also have our lovely Rollins and Balor match.
Here's the card if you'd like to take a look. Here's the card as of now. Here you go.
Can I just say, with this Balor and Rollins thing, this is being built to perfection. This makes me want to watch the Universal title match.
Well, they pressed the correct buttons. They've pressed a lot of the right buttons, including Rollins wants to talk to the Demon next week.
Mm. So we might get a taste of the theatricality of Mr. Balor.
Yes.
One more time.
And you lucky bastard, you're going to see it in all its glory. You're going to SummerSlam, right, Jason?
No, I am not. I'm actually going to the SummerSlam, the Raw after SummerSlam.
Okay.
Actually. But I am actually going to TakeOver, which we'll talk about maybe later.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going, but I'm going to be watching this. And like I said, every match for its own thing has its own thing. But Balor Rollins, you're right, Shane, built to perfection. This reboot has helped a ton in a lot of ways.
It has. This is everybody's got room to breathe and build, you know, build their matches on their respective shows. Ziggler and Ambrose, for example, we had a show-wide mini storyline about what, you know, about animosity since both of them are technically face.
And we're still getting hints of maybe Bray Wyatt joining the match. So,
maybe not.
I don't know.
We got to find out the state of his injury. He got hurt
last week. Was it last week? Or just...
They're only saying he tweaked his ankle. They're not saying it's nothing really major.
Okay.
That's what they're saying, but we know when it's behind closed doors, it might be worse.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye on that.
But isn't Ambrose coming off? Let me ask you this: in your observation, who is coming off more of the heel, Ambrose or Ziggler?
That's a good question because Ziggler is playing chaotic good right now, and Ambrose is playing chaotic neutral.
Yes.
Yes.
So, by default, Ambrose would be the heel. Because he's going to do whatever the hell he wants. According to the however the rules are written in his head.
Yeah, and what I've noticed the past 2 weeks, Ambrose's promos have been a bit more heelish. Whereas Ziggler's being more promoted as the face type. So it's like Ambrose comes out and says, "Dude, I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep this title." And Ziggler's like, "Dude, I came from being a cheerleader, bro. What's up?"
Continuity.
Yes.
Ziggler, it takes a brave, brave man to bring that up. I dare you to bring up your caddy days.
Yeah, exactly. Notice he did not bring up the fact that he used to play with balls. So.
There is a segue to that, Nikki, strangely enough.
God help me. Okay.
There is. Try this on for size. Okay. The reason why Stephanie McMahon was not in New York, was not at Raw this week, is she was in New York at the Barclays Center promoting a conference.
Mm-hmm.
She stated, matter-of-factly, that with the release of the Pat Patterson autobiography called Accepted, which has been promoted pretty heavily,
mm-hmm.
that the WWE is going to bring in LGBT characters into their storylines. And she stated as such. Now, I really don't have faith in them right, but let's see them try.
Given that they already have some people on the show that, behind the scenes, fall into these categories. Darren Young is gay. Paige is bi. One of the other female talent is a lesbian, or so I've been told. But if they can at least do it with a little bit of dignity, please do not Billy and Chuck this.
That's my worry too, because we've seen simple things just go horribly awry, and I'm worried. I hope it gets done well, but I'm not holding my breath on that part.
Exactly. Like I'm with everybody. Like I would like to see this done, but I want to see it done to a point where there's still taste involved and it doesn't take back all the hard work that gay, lesbian, and bisexual people have fought for their rights for. So, Vince, please don't knock back their rights to the Stone Age, please. Would be nice.
Just don't Billy and Chuck it, please. That's really all I'm going to say on the matter. I don't have faith, but I'm willing to give them a chance.
Now, we're not saying go down TNA route and do like an Orlando Jordan.
God, no.
No. See, that's not how you do it. Although that might mean the door's open if Orlando Jordan is looking for a job.
Well, here's the crazy thing. I would love for them to do a legit romantic angle, not like Crazy Mickey James, but do it right. I'd love to see a gay or lesbian storyline done in a tasteful way. The entertainment industry has done so many, good stories that way. Hopefully they can find a writer to do so. That's all. It's simple. Unfortunately, when you have too many people in the audience who are willing to, you know, use derogatory slurs. Remember the Beverly Brothers back in 2000.
Well, yeah.
You know. I don't know. But like I said, let's see. Let's see where they go.
Right. I mean, you know, they did the thing with Billy and Chuck, and Rico was blatant. And Rico himself was blatant and overt, but it never really... It never became derogatory. Rico always looked like he was genuinely having fun with the gimmick.
Yeah, he was actually quite enjoyable with it.
And he was so much fun to watch, and he's a wonderful guy in person. Billy and Chuck actually had gotten the audience to accept them as a couple. I mean, people were actually excited for that wedding. And
yeah, people had got so involved with that storyline that they were actually rooting for Billy and Chuck. And then I think they got all the, sorry to use a gold dust pun here, but got shattered dreams when Billy's like, oh, hell no, this isn't happening. You told me we were just going to play this out, man.
I mean, you know, points for the reveal and... Points for the reveal of the priest and 3-minute warning, but man, that could have really turned a page in WWE's image if they had actually gone through with it. But now, because of that, we're a little suspicious and a little nervous if this is actually going to happen.
Yes. Well, while Stephanie's trying to get that deal sorted, there's another man that was on SmackDown that missed out on a deal because he was a bit too eager.
Oh my gosh, that was brilliant.
Oh,
he's,
God.
Heath Slater still doesn't have a job.
Yes, he does. Entertaining our asses off. That's what his job is.
Oh, I know, but... What? There's no backlash for West Virginia shaming?
He's got kids to feed.
Yeah, but how many?
Damn it, Mickey, stop being in my head.
It was hilarious that the number did keep changing and escalating. I think it got up to 13 kids by the time the show was over.
Yes.
And the only reason the Honorable Rhino, yes, congratulations, big man, was not going to lay down for Slater is because Slater had an above-ground pool. Come on, man. Spend some real money. Wait a minute, that's real money in West Virginia, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But yes, Slater as the crazy dude who's still trying to get a job, I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it.
But there's one person who's doing it even better, believe it or not.
Who dat?
That would be Eva Marie. Okay. I'm sorry. It's awesome how they're doing this.
This is Fandango levels, as a matter of fact. This is getting to almost a Fandango level.
I don't remember Fandango's pants malfunctioning.
Okay, let me clarify. Fandango did not have a match for a couple of months after his actual debut. He didn't wrestle right away. And I could make the joke that in the case of Eva Marie, we're still waiting. But but the fact that they're playing this to the absolute T, and I want to shake the hand of the voiceover guy who can do this intro with a straight face.
Yes.
Especially when he says the most talented. It's like
No. See, that was the reason. This past SmackDown, she almost got to show us how talented she was, but it's a PG show. It's an anime reference, look it up. But you know, she's playing it to the hilt. They apparently she was on Smack Talk and explained, hey, I went ahead and got my top fixed and I came out and I was ready to wrestle, but Carmella came out and ruined everything.
You mean Alexa Bliss?
Alexa Bliss, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Carmella was too busy beating up Natalia.
Yes.
And winning.
But I'm telling you, this is, it's Heat, if done right, is brilliant. And if it's as entertaining as this Eva Marie thing is,
mm-hmm.
because as you all know, Triple H does read the internet, you think?
No, he's been reading the internet for a long time. He likes how powerful the internet thinks he really is.
Right.
And I think he's close to what they're thinking.
So he's like, okay, Eva Marie sucks dick. I mean, as a wrestler. So I'm like, fine, let's play this.
Interesting that he has to clarify that. Go on.
Yeah. So she's like, okay, why don't we play off of that? It's simple. It's simple. That's all it is. It's simple.
Yes. It is extremely simple. Okay. So the internet thinks she's a horrible wrestler. Well, maybe she really isn't that good in the ring, but we're going to milk that for all it's worth, because that can be a gimmick too. And they're playing it to the hilt. And like I said, it reminds me to a point of with Fandango. He did not, I don't believe he wrestled for like a month or two after his actual debut. That's why everybody was into the dancing.
That and letting the A's breathe.
Yes. And I missed
now,
that. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say it's. I'm glad to see that everything's like working out perfectly on screen, but off screen, some things went to shambles this week.
What happened? What happened?
Well, you know, it's. I'm. Oh, everyone knows. I think Dean Ambrose is great, and I'm glad he's our WWE champion. But this week on Austin's podcast, he was not the Dean Ambrose we know and love. I think Austin caught him very much off guard.
Being a Happy Scary Dean fan myself, he did ramble quite a bit through this podcast. I found it a little hard to listen to, and this isn't my anti-Austin bias. Dean dodged questions.
Especially about his father, and Austin was pressing that button a lot.
I was going to say, some of the questions about school, it's like, there's a reason he doesn't want to answer. There's no TV PG way to describe some of the stuff he did.
Yeah. And I understand that Austin wants to have an edgy podcast, but Dean's got to toe the company line right now. As champion, there's a lot of stuff that I'll admit, I don't know what kind of stuff he went through. But he's had a hard life. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about, can we talk about the Shield? Can we talk about the evolution of, Dean front post Shield breakup? Talk a little bit about, was he upset or jealous that, the fact that Rollins and Reigns were able to get the belt before he did?
Oh, and by the way, there was a very awesome tweet by the WWE archivist.
Okay.
Who actually tweeted the picture of the Shields, Riot Shields, that were
nixed,
yes.
Yes, and when I saw those, I'm glad they were nixed. These guys needed both hands free to do what they needed to do, number one. Number two, I think one of them actually had said, we would have tripped over these stupid things. Well, I mean, these are free. These are full body length shields. You can't, how does that translate in the ring? Poorly. Or as it might have been said by a commentator, it looked great on paper, but it's not going to look good on canvas.
Definitely.
It also kept us from knowing what they were called. Schlonites so that everybody could hear their individual names. And then we got a name, the Shield. So it was probably serendipitous. But yes, Dean did not come off very well in this interview, and I'm kind of sad. But I think Jason hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of stuff that's happened in Dean's life that doesn't need to be aired right now.
Yeah, Shane did that, not me. Shane said that.
I'm sorry, Shane.
Yeah, well, no, that's fine. No, it's just I think, like, yeah, I think it was bad taste of Austin to keep trying to push the answer out of Dean about his father and things like that. But I will give him props for at least getting it semi back on track and then start asking about the Shield and his WWE championship run and all that sort of stuff. Once he realized he wasn't going to get those answers.
Right. It just took him too long to get back to that.
Yeah, I can only imagine what Dean said to him afterwards. Like, yeah, geez, thanks a lot, man, for making me look like a fuckwit.
he covered it. You know, school wasn't the best place for him.
Sucks. It's terrible. It's awful.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
I mean, he explained that very, very well the first time. So, Austin, you know, move on. So, I actually didn't finish watching it, to be honest.
I'll tell you what I wish people would move on from.
What's that?
Or what WWE would move on from.
What's that?
This goddamn WWE and Scooby-Doo friggin' cross-promotion bullcrap.
Oh, come on! Scooby stealing the Audi was awesome!
No, I'm like the on-air stuff, fine. Like, okay. Like with what I saw with Golden Truth and that, yes, that was hella fun. That was hella funny. And with the Miz too. I'm talking more about movie wise, like the cross movie promotions. Because like, I don't know about anyone else. It's just with me, I don't like Camp WWE. Fine, mm-hmm. That's awesome. Love it. But the like seeing WWE superstars in movies with Scooby-Doo and Shaggy on animation, it's like.
First of all, the first one did very well. The second one, and this one's going to do very well too. By the way, your son is how old, if I may ask?
My son is 4.
This would be perfect for him.
it would be perfect. In fact, it would probably be a great deterrence from having to watch Transformers and Ninja Turtles constantly.
Yes, exactly.
And the first one actually wasn't that bad.
No, I've watched the first one. First one was pretty good, and from what I've seen of the picture of one of the animation pictures, second one looks like it's going to be good when it's got Stephanie McMahon and Triple H leading the WWE helm. But
well, it's some of the stuff that I have seen from it is hysterical and over the top and ridiculous, but that's the whole point. The fact that Undertaker is the primary character in there was not a clause in his contract.
I'm sorry. Like, if that wasn't a clause in his contract, are you telling me him playing a gigantic penguin in the new Surf's Up movie was? Really?
I really want to know what sort of pictures they have of him that would actually get him to relent to play that character. In this case, he's playing himself in even more absurd situations than the Attitude Era. But actually, this one might just be a great big fuck you back at Hulk Hogan, who was probably who I believe was supposed to be the lead quote unquote wrestler in this one. And when Hogan done fucked up, they wrote Undertaker in. But
yeah,
I'm
Taker just came in, tombstoned him, and said, "Rest in peace."
I'm having a hard time believing that, just because there's so much other. There's so many other. Well, actually, it is probably easy and quick to paint over old school Undertaker gear on Hulkamaniacs. So maybe.
Or maybe they stopped it early enough that they could do, you know, erase all the Hogan animation. You never know.
Yeah. I mean, it's the animation process is faster now, so I know changes like that can be made quickly. This one is still a bit dated because it does have Los Matadores, Sheamus before he grew the mohawk. Let's see. Triple H and Stephanie were about right. Mr. McMahon was about right. Paige is in this one. Oh. And Hunter, you're a doofus because I'm pretty sure you approved the scene where you stand on top of your car and shred your suit by just flexing.
Are you kidding? Really?
I am not making this up.
Okay.
It reminded me of the tearaway tuxedo that Edge did on Mencia. It's the same idea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Or the Cesaro suit right now.
Yeah, or the Cesaro suit. It's oh my god. Anyway.
To be fair, Cesaro is a Superman, so it actually works with him.
Yes. So one of these days we do need to put a phone booth out there though. Or is that Cena's?
That is Cena's, yes. Lots of other WWE stuff, outside stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about anybody, including myself. Do you know the Loot Crate franchise, like Loot Anime?
Yeah,
Loot Crate. You know, Up Up Down Down does. You know, just did a one talk about their San Diego Comic Con one. Mm-hmm. Keep it tight, by the way, Xavier Woods. You're awesome. Great channel. WWE is partnered with them for a bi-monthly Slam Crate.
Ooh, they are doing it then, because they were talking about it.
Yes, it is official. And there's a video on the Loot Crate site that actually says it. Let me give a little preview. This was done this week. It is a bi-monthly subscription crate, exclusive products and content that'll surprise and delight fans. Authentic items including WWE apparel and other collectibles that won't be found anywhere else. Okay. The first theme will be The First. And we'll celebrate the few iconic firsts in WWE history. And it's lootcrate.com/WWE. And I'm looking to see how much the price is for the bi-monthly crate. $29.99 a crate. Okay.
Okay. So and in line with most other loot crates, which usually run $14-$15 a month.
Right, or any other, you know, subscription boxes.
Mm-hmm.
4 to 6 mystery items, including, and it's delivered every 2 months, so you'd be spending about $120, no, I'm sorry, 30 times 6, $180, or $15 a month. There you go. That's right.
Yep.
So, there's that. One of the biggest news is actually something in the broadcast industry, and this broke today. ESPN is now partnered with the WWE, sort of. I don't know if you saw this or not.
Well, was that the article you linked me you linked in the chat?
I linked it in the chat because it's part of there is now a dedicated WWE portal on ESPN.com. Okay.
Okay.
And it is ESPN. .com/WWE, and they have a Twitter page and a Facebook page. That's huge. That's massively huge.
Okay. And John Cena's monologue is becoming more and more true by the minute.
Which is what?
WWE and sports have a lot more in common than you think.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And let's see. I'm sorry. I'm going to the Future Endeavor Endeavor Department. After Ryback wished the Future Endeavors to them, WWE said bye-bye to Ryback. So that's
Essential.
Okay.
I'm sad, but you know, Ryback's got some good points, but it's not going to happen You know, that's something that just doesn't happen overnight or within a month or within a year.
Yeah.
Though Ryback, it sounds like Ryback and WWE shook hands and walked out, but they left the door open long enough to kick out Joey Styles.
Oof. Yeah. Well,
self-inflicted
gunshot wound to the head, to the mouth, actually, so to speak. And yeah. I don't mean to be rude, but you understand what I mean.
Yeah, he apparently said a few things at a Facebook Q&A that WWE just didn't like.
Yeah, I know he berated the name of the Universal Championship, but what else did he say, if you don't mind me asking?
I didn't see the whole deal, so I gotta... I know the Universal title came into question. He criticized the Roman Reigns push, but left a safety net by saying that Vince is usually right about things like this. He spoke about a wrestler named Joey Ryan, whose gimmick might be a little too adult for WWE. Let's see, what else? Title and the stuff about Roman Reigns and this guy. That's, you know...
Yeah, him.
What? Well,
if you've seen the video, Nikki, you'll get the reference.
Okay. Well, this is the man who slapped JBL and lived to tell the tale. And I hope that he actually got my Joey Styles JBL Fierce Joey Styles sign that got taken from me at a show. Anyway, but. If Joey, knowing Joey, he is not repentant. And he's probably made his money. So he had a real job outside of WWE. So if he needs the money, he'll get the money.
Do you know a man that did repent though, Nikki?
Who's that?
Your intellectual savior, Damien Sandow, repented. And he went and found solace under a new name of Aaron Rex and went to TNA.
You can play that song
because he uses it for TNA as well.
I know, but I realize that in my mind, I should be thinking, but he's in TNA, so I'm all it comes out is.
I'm sorry, it's sad, but very true. Because and also when he sat down with Rolling Stone magazine of all bloody things, and they asked him. Why did you sign with TNA?
I'll ask the same question.
His exact words were, and I quote, TNA just seemed like the perfect spot for me. They are a growing company with a proven track record.
Excuse me, I'm going to take some words out of your mouth, Shane.
Bullshit! Yes, and I really believe that they have their finger on the pulse of what the audience wants. And
now that I will give him because I've been told they're getting better, but go on.
And they will gear their product towards that. Now, yes, Damien, on certain parts of that statement where they've got the finger on the pulse of what audience wants. Yeah, on some things. Broken Matt Hardy. Wasn't a fan at first, but I'm coming around to being a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Lashley holding three titles at once. Not really a fan, because I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy in NXT that did it before him, named Samoa Joe.
There was a guy in WWE who did it for a while. His name was Lance Storm.
Exactly. But as far as they are a growing company with a proven track record, But I don't
Excuse
know,
me, that... I've got another button for that.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know. Were you watching it back in the NWA TNA days? Because that's the only proven track record they have. Mm. Pretty much after Jeff Jarrett jumped ship, it was all downhill from there.
And when just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, do we even know if they're still a company right now?
Let me look.
Rumors are they still are, but there are still sharks circling.
No.
No, there's a thing going on with their business license, and they had till end of business Monday to get that settled.
They're having a hard enough time paying their wrestlers. How the hell are they going to buy a business license?
Well, it's just another day in the TNA offices.
Well, the steering is a bit wayward.
Okay.
The gearbox is a lottery.
Right.
And the battery keeps going flat.
All right, then.
So, yeah, business as usual.
Yes.
But it's my understanding. Let me find the... Because they're still talking about it on the boards. And that thread's 90 pages.
Good Lord.
How the hell did that fall off the front page? You cannot tell me it isn't. It's... Or am I just blind? Schrodinger's promotion. The thread has now been retitled TNA Business Things. Who the hell knows?
That's the fan.
By the time this thread is finished, we are going to find out that TNA never really existed and it was either a prank on Dixie Carter the whole time or a mass hallucination. So the last episode should end with Abyss looking into a snow globe with a wrestling ring inside.
By the way, that's a St. Elsewhere reference for those who don't know.
Yeah.
My God, we've had so many good references tonight. We really have. May I tell you what Aaron Rex said in his promo? And you could hit so much bullshit buttons at the top. Okay.
Sure. Shane, you might get some abuse here, so.
Okay. He said, okay, and of course his new name is Aaron Rex, A-R-O-N-R-E-X. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He says, TNA management has done what other companies were too scared to. Give him a microphone on live TV. He's not going to, and I saw this promo again. He's not going to talk about glass ceilings or brass rings. He's going to do what he always has, and that's come out here and tell the truth, full disclosure. And he wants his former employer to know that it isn't about them. It's about something he cares about. Okay. It's something he cares about the most, the paying customer, the fans. Some people thought he was too entertaining to get world title shots. But no matter what any majority shareholder, CEO, or authority figure, his words, may want the fans to believe, anyone who has ever set their foot in any ring has always worked directly for the fans. The fans are going nuts chanting for him, and he says it's time to talk about opportunity, something some people are preordained from getting over and over. The fans' opinions are thrown out the window in these situations, but here in TNA, it's an even playing field where people can succeed or not based on talent alone. And he gives some names. EC3, Drew Galloway, Bobby Lashley, and some guy named Brother Nero are all doing fine when they're given the freedom to seize opportunity and reach their full potential. His way, you know, because his tagline is he's doing it his way. His way is proving it here, and it not only changed the landscape, it'll change the very template of the industry. And for those who know him personally, they know he's telling the truth. He's gone by many names, but his name is Aaron, and Aaron Rex's new home is TNA. So, little shots fired here and there.
He's got a point about EC. He's got a point when it comes to EC3. Who didn't really get a chance. I think he kind of loses his argument when he mentions Jeff Hardy. Because
yeah,
Jeff was given all kinds of opportunities and almost completely ruined it with a drug bus.
Yeah, like, okay, it's like, Damien, seriously, dude, you can't say that Jeff didn't get opportunities when he's a former WWE champion and world heavyweight champion, and the reason he had to drop both titles was because he got caught each time with drugs. It's like, come on, man, like, you can't say the man does not get an opportunity when he blows them himself. That's the reason why he holds the shortest match in TNA history.
And in the case of Drew Galloway, a.k.a. Drew McIntyre, I don't know where that went wrong.
That, in American terms, is what you call a fumble, ladies and gentlemen.
So, yeah, let me just, you know, Drew, I love you, man, and I liked you since OVW, but seriously.
Just don't know what went wrong!
I'll tell you what went wrong. It's plain and simple what went wrong. The bloody writers are what went wrong. Drew Galloway came in as the chosen one, the man handpicked by Vince McMahon to be a world heavyweight champion. He wins the Intercontinental title. Then nothing.
Yeah.
So where it went wrong was that WWE writers did not put him in good programming to build him up as the man he was supposed to be, and then eventually put the belt on him. Because back when Drew was in the business, they still had too many heavy hitters like AKA Paul Levesque that still wanted the damn title.
Oh, come on. The evil boss isn't that bad of an evil boss. Okay, so he liked having a belt around his waist.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
No. Hold on. Not an asshole. As witnessed this week, thank you very much, not an asshole.
That's right.
Are we talking about the Cruiserweight Challenge, perhaps?
Yes, we are.
Scripted or not, this is still an awesome moment. Kota Ibushi and Cedric Alexander, okay, I did have it right, put on a barn burner to the point that the crowd demanded that Cedric be signed. Cedric standing on the ramp, incredulous at this chant, and who wouldn't be, when the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, emerges, raises Cedric's hand, winks to the audience, and then drags the kid's ass backstage. Less confident people believe that Hunter just wanted to bury him right away. So shut up, Smarks. This kid's got a job.
I think they were all just expecting the same treatment that Corey Graves got, where we're getting a WWE Network preview of the guy getting his contract signed. It's like, here's your contract for the next 2 years. Sign it right here. Thank you.
So, and speaking of contracts, somebody's getting their contracts mixed up, but he's still gonna take his chances up against McDivitt.
Oh yeah,
Buff Bagwell of all people.
Jeez,
is suing WWE over royalties because he does not have the clause. He doesn't have a clause in his contract with his extremely brief stint in the Fed that discusses the network stuff. But it does cover other media yet to be brought in. Let me find the actual that.
I need to find it too, because I know I have it here.
I just say I add Buff to the name of other pointless idiots that are trying to sue WWE.
Buff's got an interesting angle, though. Here we go. Let's see. Bagwell notes that his deal expired 4 days after the then WWF purchased the company. When he was signed by WWE to a new deal in June, Bagwell was signed under the WCW brand and name for his new contract, which was executed by WWE's Ed Kaufman. This agreement contains the entire understanding of the parties with respect to the subject matter hereof, and all prior understandings, negotiations, and agreements are merged into this agreement, meaning supposedly that his WCW and his WWE contracts were put together. His bone of contention. Let's see. Bagwell is claiming he is owed money for the network revenue because of the language in his WWE contract that reads video cassettes, video discs, CD-ROM, or other technology, including technology not yet created. So he believes that the streaming services should fall under that description. Jason, does he have a case?
Nope, and I'll tell you why. What happened is that, again, he even acknowledges in the lawsuit that that the WWE's defended it against, like, Eddie Gilbert Estate, Doug Summerson, and Stevie Ray, different guy.
Yeah.
But he's saying that they had no right to sue WWE. He is arguing, according to the article, that because of the breach of contract, he has that right, noting that the lawsuit is not preempted by the Copyright Act because WWE owns the right to WCW copyrighted works featuring his intellectual property subject to the payment obligations of the sale of the copyrighted works. My guess is that Bagwell can't, you know, money will exchange hands, but not the money he wants.
No.
You know this.
Well, yeah, okay. because it's already been proven that WWE, much less any broadcaster streaming service, really has no way to calculate views of individual content.
And even Jerry McDevitt actually explained all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if I may quote.
Please.
In April of 2016, during an interview with the Two Man Power Trip podcast, he commented on why talents from wrestling promotions are not owed royalties, okay? He says, let me use ECW as an example, all right?
Okay.
So ECW, if you recall, your history went into Chapter 7 bankruptcy, not Chapter 11. 11 mm-hmm. is personal, 7 is business, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you go into a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, what happens is your assets and liabilities are marshaled. The bankruptcy trustee tries to sell those assets of the bankruptcy estate to generate cash to pay off creditors who would be, for example, any ECW talent that's owed money from ECW and would share any money that's available, which is usually not very much because when you're bankrupt, you don't get very much.
Right.
And when somebody goes bankrupt like ECW, does it essentially wipes out all the claims of anybody they would have against ECW for contract royalties or contract claims against ECW. The assets of the company are put up for sale free and clear of all liens. And that's part of the whole bankruptcy sale. When you think of it, nobody is going to buy assets that carry with it liabilities. So what you had there was this entire film library of ECW that would have been sitting somewhere in a cardboard box right now and not being displayed anywhere. And the WWE decided it would buy and pay money to buy the films and the copyrights that go with them and obtain from the bankruptcy court a bill of sale giving the WWE in exchange for the money we paid the sole right, title, and interest to the copyrights of these works. That's why the WWE has the legal right to display them on the network free and clear.
Okay, now WCW didn't go bankrupt, though. They were bought out.
Yes.
But they weren't bankrupt.
Yes.
Is that just an acceleration of the process?
Could be. But right now, WCW, I think, was sold, and then I don't know the exact – what's the word I'm looking for? The exact terms of what happened,
okay,
in the WCW sale. Okay, so I don't want to what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to, you know, say something right or wrongly on this.
Right. No, I understand. I just, you know, it's an interesting take.
Yes. But again, I don't think Bagwell has a shot in hell. I really don't. I really don't. I think he'll get his money, as all these people will, but that's pretty much it. One other piece of news I wanted to bring up, actually.
Okay.
Because it was very sudden a few weeks ago when Lillian Garcia left WWE. And she explained why, actually.
Yes.
In an interview with something called The Tomorrow Show, mm-hmm. with Kevin Undergaro. It was a YouTube show. It was her first post-WWE interview, at least for now. And I have a few quotes. Well, actually, I will give you I'll give you the quotes for you to read, if that's okay.
Sure.
Read. This is the first one. Read this one.
Okay, let me put that someplace where I can actually read it, because my window is weird.
Okay.
Being at WWE is no longer an option. Being on the road, skipping work, that's never been me. You just can't call in sick or take a leave of absence there. It just doesn't happen. So it's the right time for me to just be gone for WWE for sure. I can spend way more time with my father, which is priceless.
Okay, and this is the next quote I have, talking about why her dad feels guilty about what happened.
That's a chunk of change. My father feels really super guilty about this. He feels like everything that's done, he feels like, I mean, I've been at WWE for 15 years. So he's feeling so bad and so responsible for this because I missed work for so many days and because I'm not there, and I just keep telling him, I want to be here. I want to be here for you. And I can't even imagine being on the road right now. If I was still there, my heart, I would literally take off and be on a plane and be like, what the hell? I shouldn't be on a plane right now. I want to enjoy every second I can with him. So I'm glad I'm not there for this tremendously. I miss the show. I miss everybody I work with. I wish I would have even gotten to say goodbye. I didn't even get to say goodbye. It was just these decisions that were happening so quick and everything. But I do have to say one thing. WWE fans are incredible.
Now, she was asked, would she return to the WWE? And she says this. I have a love and a passion for WWE, and I receive such beautiful emails from Vince, from Stephanie, from Triple H, and just saying the door is always open. We've all had such a great relationship over the years. If they were to call me and do something special, totally, I'd be all over it. It's just a place that's been really good to me and has been a wild ride. And she talks about other stuff, which is really not important in this particular case. And she also talks about botching the Undertaker match with Umaga or with Edge.
Mm.
And she's like, the Undertaker's having a match. Oh my gosh, and I remember Edge was involved, and I believe it was a tag team. And I think Umaga was part of it, the referee as well. The referee, I thought, counted to three, so I rang the bell. All of them looked at me and said, what the fuck are you doing? Oops.
Silly girl.
Uh-huh. And she also said that she was approached by a competing wrestling company during her hiatus from the WWE. She's exactly not doing that. Yeah, so it was a good interview, but Lil, take care of your father in what we don't hope is hit their last moments together. And, you know, because I know he's really, really sick.
Family comes first, and WWE, yes, is your family, but this is blood. So do what you need to do, Lillian. We'll still be here. I'll get one more story in because I understand I'm on a slight time constraint tonight. And it came from the UFC side of things.
Pay attention to me!
Oh, him. Yeah.
Yeah, this dude...
We'll be paying attention to that.
Yeah. Oh, this dude Phil. They made another documentary about him. Money together and made a documentary about him. I don't know a whole bunch about it because I don't follow UFC, and I will believe Punk is a UFC fighter the moment he actually steps into a UFC ring and actually has, you know, I actually see this on my TV. What do we know about it?
The documentary is called The Evolution of Punk. Okay. Mm-hmm. They have been filming him since 2015. Okay. And it debuts next week on Fox Sports 1. I will DVR this because I'm interested to see what they've done, because remember, he's gone through about 2 injuries, 3 delays, the whole 9 yards.
Right.
On this stuff.
And I wonder how many of his practice matches we'll actually get to see. Probably the one he won.
Probably. Who knows?
Did he win one?
We don't know. Because he does debut, in 2 months? 3 months? November,
and again, I will believe that the moment, you know, once he actually steps out there and actually steps into the octagon. And even then, I'm going to wait a minute. Because I don't want to get Eva Marie'd.
Yep. Exactly.
Hey, I'll be extremely excited if he actually wins the match and then goes, "Hey, Connor, I want you." Be like, "Yep,
yes, please." Then I would accept. You know, then Punk would have a lot of audiences saying, "Yes, please kill this man."
Oh, one other quick thing. I'm sorry.
Sure.
You remember when Will Ospreay was given a little bit of a contract from Evolve?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's actually working for some other company called Ring of Honor.
Uh-oh.
In November.
Yeah.
In the UK. He's going to be doing 3 shows with them in November in Liverpool, Leicester, and London.
Okay.
That's cool.
No, that's cool. And actually, that's gracious of him to continue filling his dates, something that Evolve's big partner really, really appreciates.
Yeah.
You know, those guys over there in the great big shiny building?
A tower, you could say.
Yeah. A Titanic tower, no less.
Oh, God. Yeah. absolutely. Good grief.
So,
here's another little piece of news, if anyone wants it. Apparently, Mr. Monday Nights himself, Rob Van Dam, is asking people for help. He's asking people for help. He's asking for justice.
I want justice.
Yeah. RVD is asking fans to help fund him because he's good. One of his best friends, Sabu, apparently desperately needs hip surgery. So he's like done a whole GoFundMe page and everything for Sabu's surgery.
Oh wow!
So all of you, I know. That's a bit of a conundrum in itself. It's like, do us ECW elite fans help pay for this man's surgery just for him to screw it up the next month? I don't know.
Well, I'm just. This is going to sound really rude and really not nice, but this is so ECW. In lieu of money, can I just send you guys a roll of Gorilla Tape so he can put it back together and just keep going?
They're trying to raise $50,000, and they've got 2,673 of them. And by the way, actually a good piece of news. Remember last week, well, you may not have been here, that Bobby Eaton was missing for a few hours?
No, he was found. Yeah, I heard about it because one of the people that I was staying with is also a wrestling fan. And he's like, Bobby Eaton's, you know, Bobby Eaton's missing. And even, I think even by the time he'd found out about it, he'd been found. He just missed his flight or something.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a little weird, but I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah. So okay. Yeah, we gotta start bottling this up because I know somebody who's tapping his foot impatiently on the other side of the glass there. Hi, boss. So before we call it a show, Force, do you have anything to promote?
Nothing much. I mean, Typho's starting to do a show again a little more often, but nothing new with me.
Okay. Shane, how about you?
I've got nothing to report except we're sending Roman Reigns back to you guys with a couple of stitches in his head. So.
What? Come on, you guys. You got a couple of haters down there?
A bunch of haters?
Hey, I can't be blamed for what happens in his main event match. Apparently he got busted open during the main event at the Melbourne show, so.
Somebody just got turned face. Anyway,
oh jeez.
Let's see. Carl, if you can hear us, unmute so that you and Jason can promote everything else. Jason, I guess it's up to you.
I shall do so. Of course, a lot of the reasons, let's start with one of the reasons why a lot of the people on the Spectrum One network are not here. That would include Mike Klaus, Joe Van Ginkel, Brian Henniger, Chico Alexander. A bunch of people are in Las Vegas this weekend, not for the shows, but for the kids. That would be Ticona 6, the Trivia Championships of North America, happening this weekend in Vegas. And the reason why they're doing that is they are also participating in the 24-hour game show marathon, which starts Saturday at noon, to benefit Extra Life and the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles. They've already raised $1,100 before even playing one game. So that's the reason why they're there. Jim Williams, of course, is still sick, so he will not appear on the latest episode of Touch 'Em All, hosted by DC Longberg. He's got a bunch of stuff that we need to talk about, including Ichiro's 3,000 hits, a bunch of players retiring, including A-Rod, Mark Teixeira, Prince Fielder, and others. And we will talk about that. The BS Big Show is back to its weekly schedule. We recorded an episode this week. Pixel Nation is off. Red State, Blue State will be back after Ethan gets back from L.A. And you can listen to all the shows and all the stuff you can hear on Spectrum1.net, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, Google Play Music, iTunes, Overcast, and pretty much anywhere you can listen to stuff, you can. So, so we'll see what happens with that. I think I got everything.
Okay.
I think I did. And if I didn't, Carl will kill me, but that's okay.
Okay. I'll just, some plugs that I'm going to, that I needed to bring back with me from Gen Con. I mentioned at the top of the broadcast about Casey Clark and Spartacus Publishing. He's the producer of Luchador Way of the Mask and all of its other incarnations, which include Canadian wrestling, Japanese wrestling, and American ECW wrestling. Also, shout out to Backspindle Games, who are the creators of Luchador the Board Game. If you have not seen this, you don't know anything about it, go ahead and look it up on Board Game Geek. Just type in Luchador Board Game and take a look at all of its beauty. At this point, I'm trying to get Casey to talk to these guys and possibly find some way to merge them into a conglomerate of beautiful, beautiful wrestling.
Oh, that would be fun.
Also, I'll put in something regarding paper review. Chris is not here this evening. He's a little under the weather. He's got some time off coming up, so maybe we'll be able to get you some more goodness that is the past of wrestling. But
and by the way, that Luchador game is at $30 on Amazon by Backspindle Games.
Yep.
It is the Mexican wrestling dice game. It's pretty cool. And here's the link just for those who are in the chat right now. So yep. There you are. Pretty cool.
So
it was pretty fun.
Oh yeah. Also quick shout outs. My secondary hobby of dice collecting. Shout outs to James Means, who will be taking over operations of Game Science in the next year. Shout out to Chessex for their first attempt at metal dice. Shout out to Crystal Cast, as they always provide the event dice. Shout out to Christina Witten, who does custom dice out of her home, and they are gorgeous and expensive. I'm sorry, dear, they are. And shout out to anybody who was blessed enough to go to this event and start saving your pennies, because next year is the 50th anniversary. So I don't really have anything else because I'm right here. So for Bad News Beeman, for Jason Block, for Forth, for our Chief High Muckety Muck Carl Chenier, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net and the Freakin' Awesome Network. I hope you've enjoyed what you've heard tonight. And in the meantime,
stay pony, my friends.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.